Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Freedom Rally in Santa Maria, corner of Betteravia and Bradley, in front of Golden Corral. Well, at least that's where the Golden Corral will soon, we hope, be. But there on that street, you should turn into to go to Home Depot. Pray for the upcoming October 9 Freedom to Assemble Rally in Sacramento, from 9 to 11, October 9, be there if you can. Trump tested positive for the China virus. The reaction on the left deepens the conviction of all reasonable people that we must not throw ourselves into the hands of these wicked and unreasonable men and women. Brain masseur must weigh in on the debate debacle and decipher that mess for us. Voter fraud concerns getting increased attention and the Barrett attacks ramp up. Durham and Ray stalling the investigation? Where is Barr? Understanding the dynamics of a bloodless coup. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, Trump tested positive for the China virus. In my opening, I said reaction from the left deepens the conviction of all reasonable people that we must not allow ourselves to be thrown into the hands of these wicked and unreasonable men and women, but I must mitigate that a bit. Some lefties are being nice. I mean, Biden offers his thoughts and prayers. A Trump personal aide tested positive, and right away, Trump and Melania were tested. And Trump did an interview with Hannity while they were waiting for the results, and it was interesting to get his take on the debate. But I'll sprinkle a little bit of that into our discussion on the debate a little bit. The test came back positive for China virus. And that means Trump and Melania have the antibodies indicating the presence of this virus. His aide, or their aide really, Hope Hicks, well, she took wearing the mask seriously, we understand. And she was careful about that. But she came up with the virus nevertheless, and it is assumed the president and first lady contracted it from her. Either that, or they all got it from the same source when they were out about doing this and that. President is fit, obviously. He is healthy, considering the energy he demonstrates. But, of course, he is 74, and so in the higher risk category. But you pray for him and Melania, and Hope Hicks, of course, and everyone else battling this virus. Having said all of that, let's look at the implications of this politically. How many of you, your first thought when you heard this was they got to him. Someone pulled an Alexei Navalny. Who's Alexei Navalny? Well, he was the leading opposition to Putin until he drank a certain cup of tea, chai, on a flight from Siberia to Moscow after he became violently ill. Later, it was proved he was poisoned. And you know what they say about Russian political ruthlessness. You don't know what they say? It's worse in America because in America it's all, well, we'll get to that. It's said that Putin's well of ruthlessness runs deep, and allegations of Putin's political enemies ended up dead by poison are not a few. First, Putin attacks with thugs and bullies together with the apparatus of the state, you know, harassment, assaults, false arrests, interrogations, jailings. Yeah, you know, Flynn, some of the others, right? And then, earlier attempts to poison him, by the way, from the Business Daily. Quote, high-profile critics and rivals of Putin have a tendency to die, end quote, sort of like those of Reset Clinton, right? And sometimes my allusions are purposely oblique. Putin did not like Mikhail Lessin either, and he ended up dead from, well, in his case, blunt force trauma to the cranium while alone in a locked room in Washington, D.C., waiting to meet with the FBI. A journalist, Anna Politkovskaya, shot by Chechens in 06, another enemy of Putin's, another, Boris Nemtsov, shot outside the Kremlin, also by Chechens. But poison's a favorite, a real throwback, you know. Defector Alexander Litvinenko died after drinking a cup of tea laced with radioactive material during a meeting with Russian officials. And Britain believes it was a Russian, can anyone spell Putin, operation. Sergei Skripal, another defector, an intelligence operator, and his daughter, both exposed to a deadly nerve agent in 2018. The bottle believed to have contained the agent was traced to Russian military intelligence officers who entered the United Kingdom with false passports. Emelian Gebrev, Viktor Yushchenko, and, you know, you begin to get the idea. All of these were on Putin's list of people not to invite to his parties. Unless, of course, he was serving tea. Anyway, this Business Insider article referenced here offers some interesting analysis, and you ought to read it. Never believe for one moment that the Clinton-Putin love affair had ever ended. Understand, family, we are up against a huge and powerful international cabal. I realize how that sounds to some. But you have listened to me, some of you, for 15-plus years, and you know that my instincts about this sort of thing are usually spot on. I don't know if Clinton, Putin, Xi, Soros, and their unofficial cabal actually manipulated access to the president to give him the China virus, but first, it wouldn't surprise any of us to learn that's what happened. And yet, number two, honestly, it wouldn't really have required anything so sinister. I mean, we know the virus is out there. Get out there from China. And that it is contagious. And that, as Trump said, it's hard to tell everybody to stay away. He told Hannity, you know, it's hard to say, stay back, stay back, stay away. It's hard to push people off. You know, when people want to come up to you, they want to get close, they want to hug you, kiss you. Trump said they want to show their appreciation for all that you've done for them. You can't just say, stay away, stay away. It's hard. You have to be nice and open to people, he said repeatedly. So as far as Trump is concerned, it was just one of those things. And the president and first lady, like the rest of us, are susceptible to getting sick. The mainstream media have made this disease out to be Godzilla. And that's about what it is. A media-created monster, 98% survival rate. So like Trump said recently, we know a lot more about this disease now. We have made major strides in therapeutics and a vaccine is forthcoming. The death count has been manipulated. Now we know that to be a fact. How much it's manipulated is uncertain. It was carefully contrived to be uncertain. We know from CDC that the death count of those who died specifically and exclusively from China virus is closer to 7,000 than it is to 200,000. Trump and Pence should never have allowed Fauci and Burke to trick them into going along with this change in policy for counting deaths by a virus, or have allowed them to incentivize deaths by COVID. But that's going to be something we'll have to sort out later. Right now, we have an election to win. So that takes us to the political side of this latest development. Man, you know, when you think 2020 has gotten as weird as it can get, it gets weirder. And of course, the left, CNN especially, see it as hopeful for the future of America. CNN Obama hack Sam Vinograd, or Vinograd, Vinograd, well, anyway, a faithful comrade, no doubt, probably a Russian plant, maybe. Jumped on this news right away. Sam said this, quote, could be the most dangerous moment that the United States government has ever faced, end quote. Ha! Guy talks like a foreigner about the U.S., you know what I mean? Like he's talking about third. Anyway, now I had just turned 12 years old when JFK was shot, but I think that really was a much larger scale danger to the U.S. than our current president testing positive with a virus. I mean, I'm not concerned about Trump's health. Truth is, I've been praying much about that, really, for some time now. The loonies on the left have all but called for him to be assassinated, right? They have. I've never in my only somewhat less than prodigious lifespan ever seen so much hatred and so many veiled calls for someone to kill this president. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, folks, these people want Trump dead. They're trying to be restrained in their response to this news, but make no mistake about it. Crazy people are out there, like Squeaky Fromm or Hinckley, you know, who, by the way, used explosive rounds when he shot at and hit President Reagan. Yeah, weirder, weirder. You know, the bullets were called devastators. They explode on impact. The one that hit Reagan lodged in his lung, but it didn't explode. From an article appearing in the New York Times at the time, quote, doctors who removed the bullet from the president's lung did not know at the time it could explode at any second, officials said, end quote. Very interesting. What I mean, folks, is that there are some crazy people out there who can be triggered by this much open hatred for such a high-profile personality /target. So Trump tests positive for China virus, and Xi no doubt is smiling. Trump has the antibodies. In all likeliness, all we have here is Trump and the First Lady have been inoculated. Lord, make it so. But Comrade Vinograd is milking it, man. This could be the most dangerous moment that the United States government has ever faced. Really? How does this compare to 9/11? How does this compare to, I don't know, World War I, World War II, Pearl Harbor, you name it? How does this compare to the national and constitutional crisis that came to be called the Civil War? I mean, we've been through some pretty serious stuff, folks. When someone overstates something in this obvious way, you need to back up and look more closely. Maybe they're declaring an agenda here. Here's another headline. Trump isn't incapacitated now, but who knows? Maybe later. That's Don Lemon. Yikes. I mean, the darkness is strong in that one. Quote, could obese Trump suffer more from COVID, end quote. That's another Lemon. And of course, that Trump got COVID is his own fault, you know, because he downplayed masks and ignored the science. Really. Everyone who has followed Trump's response to this knows that is a lie. I mean, if anything, Trump only made the mistake of giving too much power to Fauci and Burke in the earlier stages of this mess. I would be the last to take anything away from Trump's Herculean efforts to address this pandemic. It was truly stunning how aggressively he acted. I mean, and on the science, right? The science he was fed. But these people have an agenda, and it is not served by listening to a wide range of voices on this subject. Fauci has a vested personal interest in this whole mess, and on multiple levels. I'm not sure what Burke is about. They convinced themselves that wearing the mask actually protects contraction and transmission when every, and I mean every reliable study before, written before, and conducted before, about March of 2020, and including those, by the way, that spoke favorably of the efficacy of masks of March 2020 and forward, has included a statement to the effect that the cloth mask does nothing, nothing. It's worthless for stopping a virus the size of SARS-CoV-2. And the N95 only works if used correctly. And everyone admits, I mean, virtually no one does wear the thing correctly, certainly not in the general public. Friend, Hope Hicks did not contract this virus because she failed to wear a mask. You know, Fauci admitted it's mostly symbolic anyway. That's what he said. And the CDC admitted the importance of the mask is that it reminds people there is a pandemic going on. And so that's their value. Right. So you know how it is with these lefties, right? Social engineering, social control, manipulation of the people, herding the people. Well, they don't believe in herd immunity, but they sure have a herd mentality about the people. You knew this was coming. CNN Caitlin Collins speculates that Barrett confirmation hearings will be stalled by this. You know? So, do you begin to feel the conspiracy muscles flexing? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, they're looking at pictures to see if they can connect Barrett to this and compel her to quarantine, putting off her confirmation for at least another 14 days. What will they come up with next? Friend, I'm almost afraid to find out. Don Lemon and Leonard Bernstein discuss how this is going to hurt Republicans in November. They hope. Bernstein says, quote, and that also has to do with the Republicans in general, especially in the Senate races, but also Republican Party on Capitol Hill, which has been following this president's steps in its and his denial of this being a situation of national emergency that needs to be dealt with the severity and urgency that is required. This is not going to help Republicans. I think we can safely assume this, end quote. Trump ignoring the seriousness of this? Oh, God in heaven, judge. Step in and judge in this thing. Trump is not the one who took it so unseriously that he sent those vulnerable, those most vulnerable to this virus into nursing homes that were unequipped to help them. And this directly resulted in thousands of elderly people dying because of their decision. And then adding insult to this offense, they had to die alone without even having their family with them. People in Michigan are so angry about this, they're gathering on the governor's lawn demanding Whitmer release the truth about the numbers, the thousands that she sent to their deaths in her state. Newsom should be sent a picture and name of each elderly person he is responsible for killing with this virus. Trump did not take it seriously. You've got to be kidding me. It's those who politicized it who didn't take it seriously. What? He set up hospitals, sent Navy ships converted to provide hospital beds for those sick in New York, and that evil beast of a governor snubbed his nose at him and refused to accept the help, so people died because of Cuomo's pride. And don't even get me started on the blue state devils that sat on their hands while radical BLM and Antifa thugs destroyed businesses, murdered innocents, refused to accept Trump's repeated offers to help. Why? Because they're too proud. They admit they need help. That's part of it. Actually, they think this is going to serve them. They think they're going to be able to pin this on Trump. They think they're going to be able to pivot this and put it all on Trump. Listen, thousands have died because of Democrat pride. Here you go. Leave it to lemons, you know. Don Lemon expresses hope this will stop the reopening of our economy and continue the shutdown of schools. Yeah, Lemon asks Dr. Gupt, I think it is, if he sees this as a reckoning. What does that mean? I mean, the word means to have a vindication against somebody for their misdeeds. You gotta be kidding me. A reckoning? But Lemon thinks of it in more practical terms. He said he sees it as really more of an opportunity for the president to correct course, to stop encouraging states to reopen the economy and schools. I don't know. Maybe Obama and Biden would take their own personal lives so seriously as to make everyone else in the entire nation miserable because they got sick. Wow. I know that's not what he's saying, but that's, it is what he's saying, if you know what I mean. Friend Trump getting COVID does not make children more vulnerable to COVID, nor does it justify continuing the devastation of America's families and their businesses that are struggling to survive, not to mention the people killing themselves from depression over all this, and everyone living in depression and miserable. What is wrong with these people? They have no conscience. They have no sense. It changes virtually nothing, friend, except that Trump won't be out there rallying his base for a couple of weeks. So we're going to need to step in and do it for him. We're going to need to let him know we're out there. We're going to need to make sure he hears from us. You need to think of every way you can to rally Trump voters to stand up for him. I never do yard signs. I just don't. I don't know. But that's changed, folks. Babe, order 4 Trump signs. And another donation, by the way. 2 more significant donations. Let's go. The best way to encourage Trump right now and Melania is to keep the wave building. And nothing is more important right now than to pray that God will deliver us from these wicked and unreasonable men and women. Hold on to the break.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, and it is an enemy that is right on top of stealing our liberties. Okay, I want to weigh in on the debate debacle. One problem with a weekend show is that when news breaks on Tuesday, I don't get a chance to respond till Friday. But sometimes that's also an advantage. This time I think the ad is in for all you tennis players out there. I must say, though, that I really want to dig into the latest revelations regarding Spygate. Evidence Hillary approved the ruse. Evidence Obama, Biden, Comey not only knew about it, but were up to their necks in it from the beginning. I'm sure you've heard about the revelations released through latest declassified documents that brings all this out. But I have only one question, really, that I want to get in. And that is something I've been asking almost from the beginning. Something I thought would be answered when Trump put Barr on this and when Durham began his probe into this and when Ray was called to the plate. We keep getting these teases, you know, evidence piling up, indictments forthcoming. But then suddenly justice dozes off? Its attention goes elsewhere or nowhere. What happens? Is the deep state so deep we have not yet got down below the scum floating upon the surface down into the clean waters? Do something! Justice, hey, wake up! I think you guys have misconstrued the meaning of blind justice. Yeah, blind to respect to persons, rich or poor, blind to shades of brown from dark to light, but not blind to crime. okay? In fact, you're betraying a fundamental meaning to the blindfold. You're not supposed to be affected by respect to persons, oh, but that's the former president. So what? Oh, that's Hillary, you know, she's, well, she might kill me. I think this woman is feared more than God is by some of these godless people. Do something or just admit you're a coward and get out of the way and let someone else get it done. Anyway, the debate debacle. What else can be said that has not been said already? The left keep harping about Trump's interruptions, ignores Biden's insulting shut up comment, alluding to Trump as dumb, mocking him with a yak, yak, yak gesture. You know, what a twit. Calling him a liar, calling him a clown. Good night. Don't forget he started it anyway. Virtually everyone noticed a double teaming went on. Early on, Trump said to Wallace, I guess I'm debating you and not him. At no point in the debate was the double teaming more evident than when Wallace tried to corner Trump with this old bit about, you won't condemn the white supremacist, you know? Give it a rest. So let's set the record straight right now on that, can we? Anyone who has that video of Trump making this statement, and I'm going to quote in a moment, please start circulating it. Get it out there. Memorize this thing. Here it is. I think it was something like the third time he made a statement like this. But on August 13, 2017, I'm going to read it to you word for word. Trump said, quote, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America, and as I have said many times before, no matter the color of our skin, we all live under the same laws. We salute the same great flag, and we are all made by the same Almighty God. We must love each other, show affection for each other, and unite together in condemnation of hatred, bigotry, and violence. We must rediscover the bonds of love and loyalty that bring us together as Americans. Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans, end quote. Enough said. Period. Done. Now, how about a taste of how the MSM responded to that back then? Same article where I pulled this quote says this, quote, President did not mention white nationalists and the alt-right movement in his remarks, and later called for a study of the situation, end quote. Can you believe these people? Did you catch it? He condemned white supremacists. He purposely opened his statement to include any other that might come along, all right? But this was not enough. Remember this the next time you hear Trump respond to this line of questioning by asking them, name the group, or what group do you want me to condemn today, right? Because when he does condemn a group, even if he names them, they come back with, he didn't name this one, he didn't name that one. So give him a list, for heaven's sake. I remember him asking specifically for that list. You see what I mean? So Trump asked them to be more specific. If I condemn white supremacists, that's never enough for you. So tell me what group do you want me to condemn today? I'll have my team look into it and I'll condemn them if they need to be condemned. So, right, in this case, they called one up, Proud Boys. Next day, Trump said he didn't know anything about Proud Boys. As soon as he found out about Proud Boys, by the way, he declared an official statement of denunciation for Proud Boys. But apparently, it's some neo-fascist group that uses violence to advance its agenda. Anyway, immediately after Wallace pressed Trump to denounce white supremacy and sort of slid militia in there, did you catch that? Trump said, of course I will, but I don't see a lot of the right going out there destroying property, burning buildings, and so on. And then with that devil Biden chiming in smugly, you know, so go ahead, do it right now. What a bunch of punks. Trump sort of muffled through all this. I'll explain that in a moment. But here's the thing. Trump was asked if he would denounce white supremacist groups. Wallace threw militia in there, and it got a little confused, everyone talking over one another, including the immoderate moderator, by the way. But Trump immediately said, of course I do. So there's your answer. That's never enough meat for these hyenas. Don't for one moment think these devils do not know exactly what they are doing. It was a trap. It was a deflection. Trump nails Biden for not condemning Antifa. Biden says it's an idea, not an organization. He points to Trump's own FBI, someone or another, who says something to that effect. What does that matter? What does that matter? Has nothing to do with your ability, Mr. Biden, to condemn them. So condemn the ideology, Mr. Biden. It's never enough for Trump to condemn the ideology of white supremacism. Is that why you don't condemn the ideology of Antifa? Because doing so will put you at odds with a large and very active element in your base? Yeah, that's what it is. Biden and Wallace were piling on Trump for not what? Wallace asked him, will you denounce white supremacist groups? Never mind for the moment that the weasel slipped in militia. Trump says, of course I will. Well, there's your answer. You've got your answer. for them to come back, well, then do it then. That's just insulting. That's like just picking on somebody. That's like pushing somebody on the shoulder, backing them up into a corner. What you want to do then is just knock them in the nose, man. You want to punch them back. That's all you want to do when they treat you like this. And that's what they're trying to do, put Trump into a corner so they can bring him under their control and put him on a defense. And listen carefully here. Trump instinctively resists this sort of thing. Yes, by the way, most men do. And really, anybody does. And as you notice, he quickly turned it on them. When immediately after he slipped their jab, he threw one right back at them. You know, why aren't we talking about the violence going on in Portland, Seattle, Kenosha? It's being done by leftists, by the way, not by the people on the right. The anti-Trump crowd, not people from the right. I'm coming up on my time, so I'm going to have to wrap it up. Look, first, I'm sure you can appreciate how insulting it is to be asked this question repeatedly, and no matter how many times you answer it, they throw it at you again, which serves their purpose to put Trump on the defense. That's what it's about, making him defend himself for something that was never true to begin with. That's insulting, and it's really infuriating. Second, this is a deflecting question, friend. It puts Trump on the defense over a question that is actually a strong offense in his favor against them. Why have both Biden and Kamala, whatever, been so reluctant to denounce the violence going on in the BLM and Antifa protests? Why do they repeatedly try to ignore the violence and say things that actually fuel that violence by sending a clear message that they intend to go on providing them cover from the Democrats that are in power in those states? Only very lately have they begun to offer carefully, really weaselly worded statements against the violence, couched in language that sympathizes with it, justifies it. The American people are so done with the Democrats letting these thugs destroy their livelihoods, their lives, their homes, their businesses. They have to set Trump on the defense on this point in order to keep him answering to them for a totally false accusation because they don't want to answer his legitimate allegation. Third, Trump is a skilled negotiator, even if he has not had a great deal of experience in debating. If you can understand the dynamics of controlling a boardroom brawl, you understand Trump and will applaud his abilities. Picture Trump in a boardroom and someone starts blowing smoke in his face and he knows they're trying to hide something. He sees straight through it, blows the smoke away, and cuts to the chase. Lands one on the chin. You ask me if I denounce white supremacy? Well, of course I do. But that's not the issue here, friend. White supremacists are not the ones out there burning down the businesses at this time. They're not throwing firebombs into police cars. Why are we talking about white supremacists? We need to be talking about your crowd, friend. Your crowd. Those Democrats that are out there sitting on their hands while BLM and Antifa are burning down our cities and ruining the lives of Americans. That's what we need to be talking about here. Not white supremacy. Fourth, debate dynamics are very much like those in play in any argument. It's very easy to become about winning the argument. That's what it is for Biden and Wallace, that's for sure. Make no mistake about that. Trump wants to win, too. Oh, yeah, of course. But watch him closely. He intends to win by bringing out the truth against these guys. Look, I have to close. But friend, Biden and Wallace went into this debate to hide Biden's true agenda as much as possible. Go back and watch that debate and pay attention. They went at this debate to cover for Joe. Trump went into this debate determined to pull the covers off Joe and let America see the truth about him. Whether Trump knew he was going to be double teamed, I don't know personally. I think he hoped for a fair shake from Wallace. In fact, I believe he was purposely led to believe he was going to get one, but I think he handled himself very well. The fact is, if Trump had not been willing to bulldoze a space for him in that debate, to say and speak his mind, he would never have been able to make the points he came there to make. Go to my church Facebook page, like the page, set up notifications to be alerted when I go live stream. And I do that every night except Wednesday and Sunday. And sometimes when I travel, I'm unable to go live. Go to Lighthouse Baptist Church, Jerry Scheidbach, and you'll get to our page. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know you see their own. By the way, I appreciate the calls. Thank you so much for calling in. Keep them coming in. By the way, if you want me to call you back, let me know. I will. But most of my callers just want to kind of give me an encouraging word, say lights on, and then go on about their day. All right. So anyway, call 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.